Get ready to dive headfirst into the heartbeat of our community with Down to Business, the podcast that's all about our hometown hustle, upcoming events, and the brilliant minds behind Durango's businesses and organizations. We're your backstage pass to the heartbeat of our community. Welcome our host, Jack Llewellyn, and his variety of local guests as they shine a spotlight on our community. Now, let's get down to business.
Welcome to Durango Digs, Jack Llewellyn from the Chamber of Commerce. And a reminder, upcoming, we have the Chamber Business After Hours this month on the 16th down at Durango Harley. So Chamber members, invited guests, come on out and get your motor running. Come on down and say hi to Trevor and Katie Bird. Do a great job. They've actually been one of our businesses of the year, as well as Katie got Wipeout of the Year a few years back. So Vaughn Morris with the Boys and Girls Club, how are you doing?
Doing awesome, Jack. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you for, you know, wearing a variety of hats and, you know, from Boys and Girls Club, Chamber Board of Directors. You're on a few things.
Yeah, you know, that Volunteer of the Year award that was given to me a few years ago. Still got a lot of those pokers in the fire, but scaling back a little bit, you know.
Well, you've been on the Bayfield Library.
Yep, been a trustee there for several years, United Way of Southwest Colorado, clearly the Chamber.
Aren't you Skyhawks, bring back the Skyhawk Booster Club?
Yes,
you mentioned something about that.
Yep, Skyhawks Club Advisory, working with Travis Whipple and them. Been part of Salvation Army.
Yeah,
kind
well,
of stuff, so.
Sounds like you need to take Jack's 12-step Just Say No program. No, you do a lot for the community and just appreciate everything you do. And we're here to talk Boys and Girls Club. And I attended your Building Bright Futures.
Building Great Futures, yeah.
Great Futures, sorry. Bright, great.
So, okay,
slept since then. And always such a great event. And just seeing the individuals and the businesses and all the people that show up to help out. It's just a great, great breakfast and dinner or lunch, rather.
Yep, that'll be coming around back again in the spring, and being in existence for 16 years now, right? We opened the doors in 2007. I think one of the really cool things was being able to show that alumni video to folks, right?
Yeah.
And seeing those kids that were starting out at 6, 7, 8, 9 years old back then. And now, they're pilots, they're starting their own business, they're earning law enforcement, and I think that's the power of the program, right? I mean,
right.
We do a lot of things to help kids succeed and give them a lot of tools, but it's really those supportive relationships in a fun, safe place that we remember, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, whether you went to a Boys and Girls Club or not, I think every one of us, I would hope every one of us can think back to a time where somebody was there for you, told you something that resonated, probably not your parents.
Right.
You know, I didn't even appreciate what my parents were telling me till a lot later in life.
Sure.
But it was a similar message or the same message to what that other person was telling me. And I think that's the power of the program.
Well, and I just also, I really like what you guys have done in a small space.
Sure.
When you go into the Boys and Girls Club and you're located by the rec center.
Yep.
And you enter into there and, you've got the computer lab, you got the games, you got the basketball court, you expanded and, took down a wall to expand that room.
Is
that the teen room?
Yes. Uh-huh. So, It is right next to the rec center between the splash pad and Main Street, and I like to describe it kind of like what I told my wife. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's what you are about in the inside.
That's right.
We've done a lot of different things over the last 16 years. Everything from starting that teen space that you just described to expanding it. And now we have a pretty major project we're looking at in 2024, again, to take additional space, office space, and those kinds of things and spin it. Kids are really into technology and all those kinds of things, right? We don't have a great space currently, so looking at some community supporters to, knock out some walls, some maker space, a place where kids can make music. We've been doing the 3D printing for a while, but just really giving, it's hard to find those spaces in the community, right? Libraries are doing a great job. School district has their pieces, but where do you go after school and during that out of school time to find some of those things you're really interested in? And we just want to give, more opportunity to kids. Same thing with career exploration, right? You know, back in the olden days, I won't date either one of us.
But, you know, I'm older.
Career exploration was an encyclopedia and maybe some microfiche.
Sure.
You know, now career exploration is how do you really find out about something? And there's, you know, virtual reality and all of those pieces.
Yeah.
So it's super exciting. You know, again, we want that space to be open and accessible to all kids and be something because they want to come. It's fun and safe, and it's designed for them.
You know, you mentioned the 3D printing, and I actually happened to go over to the Innovation Center at the Main Mall, where, you know, the Small Business Development Center is, and they have a 3D printer there. And I was like, what are they doing? And she said they're making a drone.
Sure.
And they're 3D printing a drone, and they're all these little intricate parts that they have to put together.
It's mind-boggling to me, right? You know, just thinking about what is possible, you know, and again, you know, I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, but I do like the idea that we did find a spaceship and crack the code, and that's why technology is going so much quicker than it used to be. But I've also seen enough Terminator movies and those other things to have a little bit of caution and worry.
Oh, yeah.
But it is pretty amazing. You know, we had the same thing. So for us, you know, we have some dampers around the air conditioning and those kinds of things. Yeah. Some people know what I'm talking about. But for some strange reason, we used to have the little key, probably 20 of them. Then it went to 5, then it went to 1, then I thought it was none. So we have one, and I'll never forget, I was at Gar's digging through boxes to find it, and then we just 3D printed another one.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Wow. And I didn't even think about it, and they're like, we could 3D print one of those. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, get after it.
And they did it?
Yep.
And now you have more keys.
Yep.
How funny. Well, that's, well, I know, kind of getting off the rails, but I'm going to jump over to the train, because I know that at the train station, they may have their own 3D printer now, I don't know, but in the roundhouse, they reached out to Fort Lewis to 3D print some parts, because you can't just run down to Napa.
Right.
And so somebody maybe, you know, works at the roundhouse, you know, learn how to 3D print at the Boys and Girls Club. I don't know, but that's the kind of thing that gives you hands-on experience that these kids can explore.
Well, and that's the key, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like getting access and opportunities and exposure to so many different things because you never know what you really want to do.
No.
You know, but you can try a lot of things and maybe mark a few off the list. And again, what you want to do when you're 10 or what you want to do when you're 16 may not be what you're doing it. Later years.
Well, like, what do you mean? I never thought I'd be a chamber director, I'll tell you that.
Well, I never thought I would be a, you know, CEO of a nonprofit myself. Sure. But
but you did go as a kid, right? You did go to a Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, that is correct.
So you experienced it firsthand as a youth.
That's correct. And, you know, I mean, it was a lot different. You know, I've told this story to many folks. You know, what a youth development experience looks like now in a Boys and Girls Club was far different.
I
think boxing ring.
Yeah.
Trampoline and submarine video game.
Earn your keep.
100%. A lot of King of the Hill. You got to knuckle up to get on the old video game.
Yeah.
But again, it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, you had some independence. You got out of, you know, and we, I grew up in a neighborhood back in the olden days, you know, where there were stay-at-home moms and those kinds of things. But still, that opportunity to go to a place, hang out with your friends, be safe, is powerful, you know. I mean, pro-social activities out of school, and, you know, it was a different time. You know, I mean, kids now, so many different things are facing, you know, so many just
difficulties and challenges. Gosh,
right? Like, there's just so much noise, you know, because everything is so much more accessible and, and you're just inundated with things. So stepping back and being a kid, you know, I think is something that we have to continue to provide. And again, meeting them where they're at, right? Technology where it is. But, you know, we're still, you know, we're still going to play Foursquare. We're still going to play dodgeball. You know, we're still going to billiards. You know, I think we've talked about this a couple times in the past. You know, kids don't play ping pong anymore. And I'm so refreshed because we just had a donation of an air hockey table from Jessica Matlock at LPA. Oh, at her Meet the CEO event.
Yep.
You know, we were talking about that because her kids wanted a ping pong table, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah.
Because it was win-win. We got the, you know, we got the air hockey table, and there's more kids wanting to play ping pong.
No, that's fun. Well, and that's kind of thing what we have take advantage of in a small community. you know, and having those connections and being able to, you know, work with other organizations and, you know, find what you might need. And whether it, you know, I said cash is king, but then finding the different things that the kids can use. And I want to say, looking back too, I can only imagine, you know, what photos would be out there if cell phones were around when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I look back on that. I got some pictures of, you know, some parties, but, you know, they're, I don't know where the negatives are anymore. But,
sure.
You know, it was there would have been a lot of really good stuff incriminating.
Well, and that's the thing we talk to kids about now, about, you know, being, you know, savvy about once it's on the internet, it's forever, you know, and so be super careful, you know, what you share and how you share it. Yeah, I mean, it well, I was just laughing about this the other day, talking about, you know, when I was 13 years old, I grew up in New Mexico, you know, Aztec, just south of here. And, you know, at 13, I got a license for a 100cc motorcycle.
Oh,
I could go anywhere I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Drive, ride to Farmington, could have rode to Durango, right?
Sure.
No cell phone, no beeper, no nothing. Just the world
just
is
go.
Yours. And I was like, wow, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's no chance I would let my kids do that.
No. And those are the things that you instill at the Boys and Girls Club, how to make right decisions, you know, and again, characters when no one's looking.
Right.
And the things that you instill in them and saying, yes, you can do that, but ask yourself, if I do this, then what are the consequences?
And that's truly it, right? You know, so, you know, there's always going to be somebody there that's not going to judge.
Yep.
Right, because we all make mistakes, and I think that's really powerful. You know, we're all gonna have to say, "Hey, what would you do?" And you know, I used to talk about advice, and advice, you know, isn't worth anything. Opinion, right?
Yeah.
You know, you decide. You know, and sometimes your decision will be it's worth it, and sometimes your decision will be it won't, and you will learn from that. But back to the, you know, the motorcycle story.
Yeah,
we got to learn a whole lot on our own.
Sure.
You know, from real life experiences, and now there's a lot of controls around, you know, we want to keep kids safe first and foremost,
right?
But we also got to give them some breadth, you know, so they can develop some resiliency, right? So they can develop some decision making skills, not just always answer or protect. I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, and I do, because I also look, Vaughn, and I go, to also be smart and walk away.
Right.
You know, and be able to say, yeah, you probably could beat me up. Yep, you're right. You know, and the walk away and being able to just say, you know, I'm not going to do this. And knowing that that's the right decision and take time to cool off and, you know, and those types of things. Because, you know, I'm actually, when Ken, we were talking and telling the story, I'm thinking of the tragic, you know, shooting here recently in Durango.
Sure.
And these young adults that made a decision that now has affected their rest of their lives. And, you know, and just, and it always, I look back and to have mentors, to have that light bulb in my, I said it went off in my head before I did something stupid.
Right.
I went, you really think that's the right thing to do?
Sure.
And stopping and thinking through it. And it was because I had some really good mentors in my life.
Sure. Well, you know, the collateral damage of those decisions not only affects them, I mean, it's everybody and all of those families and then the community at large, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's always a one bad decision, and there's difference between bad and catastrophic, right? And that, in my opinion, those were catastrophic decisions. And you just made me think of a story back whenever I was growing up. You know, I was with some friends, they decided to rob a grocery store, right?
Yeah.
And my opportunity was to walk away, to your point, do it, you know, and we always want to have the clout, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to lose face, you know, all of those different things. But the thing that kept me from doing it was my role model and mentor, Rich Holden.
Yeah.
He's up in Trinidad.
Okay.
He's a basketball coach, to just continue to tell me all of those times, like, you can be your own person. You can be better than that.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it, you know, and thank goodness, because we all went on different trajectories after that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up running a Boys and Girls Club, and a couple of them did okay at the end, you know, as we get older, but a couple of them didn't work out well.
No. And I think, too, that, you know, I look back and I remember one of the most humbling experiences, I was probably six. I grabbed a couple pieces of candy And my mom, you know, found them in my pocket or whatever, and we went right back to the store.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go up to the store manager and hand them to him, you know. And he's like, well, I'm not going to call the police. Thank you for bringing them back, and don't ever do it again.
Sure.
So it was a good lesson for me. I'm just looking at you going, you were probably a handful as a kid. You're even turning a little red now.
Well, I mean, know it's funny because I said handsome, and anybody that knows me knows that's simply not true. So,
You know, your mom says you're a catch. That's all that matters.
My brother told me when he joined the Marines, they said, blonde hair and blue eyes. Your mom told you own the world. Guess what? You're ours now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. A handful to say the least, Jack, for sure.
Well, but I'm going to say all that experience has now brought you full circle to run the Boys and Girls Club. Because they always say, you know, some of the ones that were the most ornery and did some things make the best police officers because they know how to see through stuff.
Well, sure. You know, and my brother did become a police officer after the Marine Corps. And I went back to, you know, the roots of the Boys and Girls Club, like we talked about in the last segment, that I went to a club. And you know, growing up here locally, you know, I still see people. And, you know, I had a principal that was at my Park Avenue Elementary, so 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it was also my high school principal.
Oh.
You know, so he saw me in two different stages of development, so to speak. Stupid in both of them, but different, right?
Right.
And so I was talking to a friend of mine that plays golf with that individual now, and actually my name came up.
Oh.
And he just said, you know, I really enjoyed those kids because it was never a dull moment, right? They had spirit, you know? And I was like, that's what you called it. Yeah. Back then, they could try to spank that spirit out of you.
Oh, well,
you know, and clearly that's...
What were you thinking?
Exactly. Those are the things that have changed, right?
Yeah.
And how we deal with situations and those kinds of things. But I also worked in detention for a few years. So really looking at, like, how does that happen, right? You know, like, where do you go and who do you hang out with and, you know, what do you want to be and all of that. The detention thing taught me a lot about an ounce of prevention is truly worth a pound of cure, right? So the upstream prevention, those kinds of things, getting kids in situations where they're safe, they're supported, more than one voice, right? You know, I don't want to get too, you know, into the industry speak kind of stuff, but there's risk and protective factors, right? Caring adults. Protective factor.
Sure.
Used to be one, now it's three. So parents, church, sports, school, extracurriculars, powerhouse, I mean, you name it. And the community has a lot, but there's still not enough. There's never enough support for kids.
Yeah, especially I would think kids coming from single-parent families, and a single parent is having to work two, three jobs, make ends meet, and all the other things. And then that parent now hopefully knows that the Boys and Girls Club is a place that they can go, and the cost is never a barrier.
Correct, right. So it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's consistent. Those are the three keys, you know. Yeah. So there will never be a financial barrier, you know, as we it's always been super affordable, but even more affordable now outside of COVID. And then we still provide financial assistance. You know, in the summer we have all day programs. So ensuring that kids can participate and then that consistent, it's every day, you know, I mean, we're out of school, after school, summer, you know, so you have that. And I think that's critical, right? So not only if you're a single parent, I mean, lots of dual working parents, and we want to do more, right? I mean, we want to provide more services, more programs, more activities, be in more spaces. There's some challenges.
And you did that, though, with 9R. You partnered this last couple years ago, was it? Or this year that you partnered with 9R?
Yeah, it's been going on for 2 years. Uh-huh. So there used to be a kids' camp program after school, and we basically merged those to the benefit of all, right? You know? But right now, there's still a challenge around finding people to run the programs, but it did allow us to expand our footprint. Clearly, you know, most school districts, 70%, I think, is the number of school districts in Colorado. We're now on a four-day school week, which includes Bayfield, Ignacio, Mancos, Dove Creek, Delora, you know,
everyone around us, other than
Durango. And so being able to step into that space in Bayfield and provide an all-day program for those kids on Friday. And again, the power of collaboration, you know, with the Pine River Library, with the San Juan Mountain Association, you know, giving those kids experiences, you know, in that out-of-school time, but making sure they're safe because it's getting more and more challenging.
Oh, and you think of all the, you know, I was, I was just coming through the parking lot at the chamber building.
Sure.
And some youth walked, you know, through the parking lot.
Sure.
And I, in my mind, just did a little stereotypical thing, you know, and I'm looking at them going, oh, there's nothing but three troubles right there. Yep. One kid had a full ski mask, and they were pushing a cart from one of the supermarkets, you know, and then just left it in the middle of the parking lot. And I was like, really? They just mumbled something, and I just watched them walk away.
Did you wave your fist and say, get off my lawn?
My lawn.
Because that's what I call myself now at this stage of my career, the get off my lawn guy.
Well, and it's something that, you know, I'm looking and I'm thinking of, you know, the Boys and Girls Club and just going,
sure.
We're so fortunate to have the facility and to be able to have those kids, you know, and what age does it start?
So we go from 5 years old at the school-based sites, uh-huh. up to 18
okay.
at the main site. So it's a broad gamut. It's basically K-12. You know, it's going to be those those age groups. And, you know, the real gap is still middle school and high school. Activities and opportunities for those kids, because it looks different, right? Yeah. When you're, you know, 5 to 12 years old, the current club works really well. You know, parents want their kids to be, supervised. But then as they get a little bit older, they want autonomy. Developmentally, mm-hmm. they change. And, you know, how do we find that balance in providing safe, supervise appropriate activities with the autonomy and freedom that they want,
and where I think the that's cool a bit kids of a, hang.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and so, I wish I knew where that was.
Well, it's at the Boys and Girls Club. So, but I'm curious: are you open like during holidays? Can people come and say, "Hey, I want to drop my kid"?
You know, we had always been open. We were kind of like the 24/7 anytime fitness model. And what we've seen over the course of many years is that there are real peaks and valleys in services, especially in the community we live in.
Sure.
So, you know, we hadn't been open during Thanksgiving or Christmas break for the past few years. You know, again, a variety of factors. Understand parents need the service, but also staff need the break.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a reality of the situation, you know, and with programs being in schools, they're closed. Sure. So we stayed closed. So we are going to be back open, you know, for Thanksgiving break on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And then in the very near future, we'll know, because again, convincing staff to work during Christmas and
holiday
breaks.
Sure, they
need
time off too.
Of course. Yeah. You know, but again, and so it may not be the traditional 7:30 to 5:30, mm-hmm. you know, every day, but we'll definitely be looking at some activities, you know, field trips, some special uh-huh. event stuff to keep the kids engaged.
Yeah. And how many, I'm curious, how many kids, and that includes all of them, you know, K through 12, how many kids do you serve, so to speak,
sure.
are involved in the club every year?
Yeah, so we're well over 1,500 a year now and trending really quickly towards that 2,000. So the way that we define it is, you know, a member is a kid who, you know, is in the system. So we use, you know, a membership, you know, track information, all that kind of stuff. So registered member. We also have other youth served, right? So kids that we serve through community outreach, different events, recesses, lunch duty, special events, those kinds of things. So we're well over 1,500. You know, we see anywhere from 250 to 350 kids a day.
Wow.
Which is a lot, you know. So nobody's seeing more kids per day other than schools, you know, than the Boys and Girls Club, which again gives us that great opportunity to help them.
You know, it, when you say that too, I'm sitting there going, so I remember, you know, when I was coaching, it'd take me about a third of the way into the season to finally get all their names right.
Sure.
You know, luckily they're my kids' friends, so I knew a lot of them. But, and to this day, it's funny because I'll see one of them, they've got a beard or whatever, you know, and I'm looking going, hi, Jack, how are you? And I'm like, I have no idea who you are. Or I'll see a parent, and they're like, hello, Jack, how you doing? And I'm looking going, who was your kid?
Right.
And then I'd have to connect it in my brain.
Sure.
But how do you know, I mean,
well,
trying to follow.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when we talk about kind of the changes from my youth development experience back in the club way back when to now, you know, we focus on five key elements of positive youth development, right? So it's safe, emotionally and physically. It's fun. And from an administrative is why I always go safe first, but fun is really first, you know, supportive recognition and then, you know, opportunities and expectations. So really that key part of supportive relationship is knowing kids. So we got a lot of tricks in the bag, you know, to ensure that we know who the kids are. Mm-hmm. To your point, I can think of some of the basketball teams like Kangaroo Caitlin, you know, so those name games, right?
Yes.
You know, because it's important. Every kid wants to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And so when they come into the club, you know, they're going to be greeted by name. And then a lot lot of times we're going to do a little check-in, right? How are you today? Mm-hmm. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs middle. Yeah. We use a lot of emojis. We have the old emoji schedule out there. Which one are you? You know, because again, kids are carrying, like us, all of us, are carrying everything that happens in our lives with us every day. You know, and so how do you reconcile those things? And our key tenet is when you get here, it's going to be fun, and you're going to be you. And put some of that stuff, it's still going to be there.
Right.
But it's not an extension of the school day. You know, we focus on education and academic support and those kinds of things, but it's not an extension of the school day. You're a kid once.
Yeah.
And you should have the opportunity to be a kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I know that, it's the Raising Boys by Dobson, you know, and he talks about that when you're wanting to get boys to talk, play basketball, do something physical, because that just naturally brings out the conversation, because you know, you'll laugh and you'll make fun of each other and stuff like that. And I was reading that one time, and years ago I did that with my son and my stepsons, you know, and it was like it was fun. Or ping pong, you know, we had a ping pong table, let's play some ping pong.
Sure.
Just that physical activity. So I imagine that is a really good plus. But what I also, if a kid says, hey, I need help with my homework, I'm sure those resources, somebody at the Boys and Girls Club is there.
For sure.
Unless it's math, if I was there.
But physics is my downfall. I just know, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
It just works.
I know. Which that subject?
Physics.
Physics. Oh. Angle of incidence equals the angle of refraction.
It equals F for Vaughn on the pork carton.
And the acceleration rate of gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared. That's the only two things
Google
I remember.
That, folks. I don't think he's right.
From anything in physics. No, we will Google during the break, smart Alec. And but that is like the only thing I remember. So physics, but I also found out I'm dyslexic.
Right.
And flip numbers. But those are the things that having a mentor to help you get through that. So long back and forth conversation here, but are there folks there that can help with some of the
subjects? That comes back to the community connections, right? So for us, we're more of the jack of all trades, right? Uh-huh. You know, so we're going to be there, lots of different things, but then how do we connect kids and families to the services they need?
Right.
And luckily in this community, there's a lot of them, you know, like we've already talked about relationships with the school district, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then relationships with other nonprofits, you know, the family center and the county and the city and just, you know, trying to get, and some of those, you know, the needs of, you know, housing, shelter, food, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, trying to help kids ensure, you know, they get what they need. And it was interesting, you mentioned just a second ago about that idea of finding your niche. The school district just did a really powerful training on Monday, you know, with the folks from Sandy Hook and Platte Canyon, you know, and it was super interesting in how those kids dealt with that trauma, continue to deal with that trauma, and found that niche, you know, that helped them, again, be human. Because I can't even fathom it, you know, and hearing the stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm shout out to all the school districts and particularly 9R around how much they take safety, security of kids, you know. And it's hard because, you know, we want to, I think the guy from the I Love You Foundation said it best with, you know, you want kids to feel safe, but you don't want them to be in a cage.
No.
Right. And I think finding that balance, and I think 9R has done a really good job, you know, and there's a lot of challenges for everyone, including them, you know, around, you know, how do we bus and how do we, you know, exchange kids and all that stuff. But I just want people to give everybody grace in the fact that we're all here to keep kids safe.
Yes.
Because if we don't, then incidents like we discussed earlier happen. And that's not where you want to be.
No. And I think that those are, as you mentioned, taking the seriousness and I'm going to say the role-playing and things to, you know, God forbid we ever have something like, you know, an incident occur, but being prepared and being ready, you know, and you know, having those conversations, what to do.
Sure.
And, you know, and talking with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club, you know, and just, you know, I'm going to say the stranger danger, or right. You know, if you're approached by someone, what do you do? Or a kid feeling safe and being able to come into the boys and say, hey, I had this person do XYZ or ask me this or right. offer me this, and you're going, oh, well, let's, you know, and then having those conversations with the individual, so then you guys are trained
for sure
how to handle that and what to do and who to get involved.
Right.
Yeah. Not just go, oh, just blow it off. Yep. You know
mandatory
what to do.
Reporting and all those things yeah. come into play, you know, and it's the reality of the world we live in. You
yes.
know, and keeping kids safe, and I encourage everybody, no matter where your kids are, no matter what they participate in, do your due diligence. You know, mm-hmm. are they background, you know, checking? Do they provide training to staff and volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then, you know, take that into consideration as you make
sure.
your choices where you're going to put your kids.
Yeah.
But your kids are safe in the school, in the 9R school district. I could tell you that right now. And none of us are 100% safe. Life's inherently dangerous.
Sure.
Childhood's inherently dangerous. It's just yes. what it is. But their commitment should be applauded, not... Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. You know, my dad, I think I've told you this, my dad was a principal for, you know, up in Westminster
sure.
for, you know, School District 50, and he worked in the school district 33 years. And just some of the stories that he talks about, you know, and some of the things that he dealt with. But I look at it, and I remember him saying, always know your son or daughter's friend's parents. Because if they are partiers, or there's something you just don't like about them, sometimes it rubs off. Maybe not, but sometimes, you know, if they're doing whatever activities, you may want to just keep an eye on that. So, you know, the other advice he gave me, if you ever get in an argument with your significant other, take a bath. A woman cannot yell at an anchored man in the bathtub.
Oh, man.
And I've told counselors that, and they go, I have got to use that.
Sure, sure.
So,
I'll put that up my sleeve because I probably haven't taken a bath. I guess maybe I don't
forever.
Get in trouble with my significant other.
You don't
other.
Get in trouble.
I know that's
why.
Not true.
But the boy, yeah. Where am I going with that? Am I going to get out of this, Vaughn? But anyway.
Well, now so, I just see you naked in a
those
tub.
Those are words of wisdom
check, please.
From, you know, my late father. And if he would now be sitting there just laughing at me.
Sure.
He had a wicked dry sense of humor. And but no, there's things that, again, looking back, you mentioned it earlier, we didn't listen to our parents.
Right.
You know, my dad also say, always control the keys to your kids' cars.
Sure.
And one time I got really upset and I was going to go for a drive. I couldn't find my keys. Next morning, I found them on top of the fridge behind the Kleenex box.
Sure.
And I was like, I looked up there. And a couple of years later, my dad's, remember when you couldn't find your keys? I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, I told you, always control the keys.
Sure.
So there's things that I look back on, and having that mentor, you know, and the lessons I learned,
sure.
you know, beyond the kind of the joking with you. But those are huge. And what the Boys and Girls Club can offer are those, oh, those little key nuggets and words of wisdom.
Well, and you have to find that support system, right?
Yeah.
You have to have people that you trust. You can believe in, and can believe in you too, because
right.
I am, even, you know, working in detention for those years and those things, second
yeah.
chances and third chances are important, right? Because if one decision ruins your life, and that's not the catastrophic one, there are
sure.
those, but some of the things, you know, and the challenges we face in a modern society about where is that breaking point,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, I mean, we don't want to, you know, suspend kids for certain things, because if they're not in school, they're not in sports, where are they? You know,
right.
but at the same time, there's an accountability and a responsibility. So finding that
yeah.
balance
mm-hmm.
Is getting harder and harder because we're litigious, right? You know, people want to sue and
sure.
those kinds of things. But the concept of supportive, safe, and fun
mm-hmm.
resonates with everyone,
right.
you know, and that's what we'll continue to do. I mean, those are
yeah.
our primary tenets. And we just want to grow it into, you know, more and more communities
mm-hmm.
from a global scale with Boys and Girls Clubs. I mean, we serve 5 million kids. Goal
right.
is going to be 10 million.
Wow.
You
yeah.
know, and having
it's
that, you know, ability to provide that service.
And how many staff do you have?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, so we're seasonal in the sense that after school
mm-hmm.
is a little bit smaller, but we're around 30, and then in the summer we'll be up to 50 or 60.
Wow. Okay. And then with that, obviously training that they all go through,
sure.
all the background checks we mentioned earlier, and everything. Now I'm curious, how you this is going to be, you've only got like a couple minutes to answer this.
Okay.
Funding.
Sure.
How, where you get your funding?
So as a nonprofit, right? I mean, we appreciate all of the community support,
yes.
Right? So, I mean, every year our budget's about $1.25 million, mm-hmm. and we raise that every year,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of that is local support, grassroots support. We do have some funding, mm-hmm. you know, for some grants and those kinds
sure.
of things, a little bit of program fees, but it really comes back to people in our community believing in what we do, believing that kids are future, and then supporting that. And there's so many different ways to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the website bgclaplata.org, you can always go on there.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage monthly gifts. I know you're part of our club,
yep.
Blue program, to give on a monthly basis. So just mm-hmm. you know, look at what you feel the budget could bear, you
yep.
know. I mean, for $30 a month or $60 a month or $90
sure.
a month, providing snacks, you're providing arts crafts programs,
mm-hmm.
you could sponsor a kid. You know, so there's a lot of opportunities,
yeah.
you know, to do that. And then the business community has been very supportive. I mean, Durango
right.
is a very giving community, as
yeah.
is La Plata County. Clearly, there's a lot of competition because there's a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really encourage people, if it's not kids, find your passion in the community, support it financially, support it with your time, talent, and treasure, right?
Yep.
You never get your time back. And you know, we do, to your question about employees, you know, we have professionals, youth development professionals. We
right.
do use volunteers to augment, enhance, but the key is we have to have ongoing people that are trained, and it's not as easy as it used to be.
No.
And that's good and bad.
Our budget, annual budget, is about $1.2 million, and you have to raise that every year.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
Yep, it's zero-based, right? So,
yeah.
you know, we have some commitments
sure.
from foundations, and we do have some, you know, commitments from folks in the community that make
right.
multi-year pledges, but a lot of it is, you know, really year to year.
Well, and I'm curious, just thinking out loud here, but if somebody's in a position that they say, you know what, I can do a legacy donation,
sure.
a contribution,
sure.
you know, and sorry, but pay a poll upon death, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
You have staff that can help talk about that if that's your wish, because you don't have, maybe it's family or, you know, someone to lead
sure.
it to, and you say, I
sure.
want to do something that's right for the kids.
Yeah, 100%. So that's called legacy giving,
yeah.
right? We have a program called the Heritage Club, and those really are the gifts that keep on giving, right?
Yeah.
You know, because it is a finite, I mean, there's a finale
yeah.
to
sure.
it, and then the, you know, the funds
mm-hmm.
really help go, and there's going to be a remarkable transfer of wealth,
yeah.
you know, in the next 10 years from baby
yes.
boomers and those kinds of folks. And so the ability to, you know, make those contributions, and there's so many different ways to do it, you know,
yeah.
from, you know, charitable remainder trust to, you know, to just cash to,
right.
and there's a lot of things to navigate, and not everybody has, you know, a CPA or a financial planner
no.
that can help them, but we do have resources to help people,
okay.
you know, navigate that.
Yeah.
And we have some of those, you know, gifts that have been made, and that's really about the sustainability of the organization, right? You know, because our vision is,
yeah.
you know, we will be here forever, you know, helping kids, you know, pay it forward.
Right.
And those kinds of gifts really, really make a difference.
Yeah. And I, you know, I remember talking to somebody that's a financial planner. They said, well, make sure, you know, if you have, you know, kids that are
sure.
older and they're
sure.
successful, whatever. And having that conversation with them, saying, look, this is something that I want to do, and letting them know, you know, are you okay with this? Because
sure.
I would hate to, you know, someone, the kids assume.
Right.
That
sure.
it's coming to them.
Sure.
Or, you know,
yeah, you
kids
take care of your
adults.
Own first,
yeah,
right? But that
yes.
doesn't mean that, you know, you can't leave a percentage.
Sure.
You know, you can leave, you know, what's left of your estate,
right.
you know, and all of it will go towards, again, ensuring
yes.
that kids have a fun, safe place to go that they can call their own,
yeah.
that's affordable, accessible, and consistent.
Yeah. And again, it's kids are the future.
Well, there's no doubt,
yeah.
you know,
well, I mean,
and we want to prepare them for it, you know, because
yep.
they're going to be taking care of us sooner or later, hopefully not in that bath you talked about earlier.
I just
can't
had
let
to
it
go there, didn't you?
I can't
you?
Let it go.
Yeah, now wait till the next board meeting. You know, you're gonna be walking in to the chamber board and have this little, you know, the emoji.
Yes.
Now, where is
please.
Everybody at today?
Yes.
We're gonna have a little check in, and then I'm gonna, you know, get out the rubber duck and be like, "Don't do it, Llewellyn."
Thawing out the turkey.
It's kind of amazing. I still have a job, isn't it?
It's not amazing because you do a fantastic job, Jack.
Whatever.
And, Yeah, you do. You do. I know that you are a humble man, but, you know, well, I mean, what you've done for the chamber has been amazing. And, you know, I have a privilege to serve on that board and continue to advocate and support the businesses. So, I appreciate all you do.
Well, and I I'm going to sit here, you know, thanking each other. Thank you for thanking me.
Hey, look at us.
You know, look how great we are.
Fest.
But no, the board and being on the board, it's critical, you know, and as the director, I can't believe it'll be 17 years coming up in February is my 17th anniversary, but it is. It's having the right people in the room that represent a diversity of our membership.
Sure.
You know, and that we joked one time, we were all, you know, there was like 5-6 white bald guys on, you know.
Follicly challenged,
shave the head and all that, or like me, really follicly challenged, but I'm in denial. But no, it was in having that representation. And, you know, you mentioned the fundraising. The chamber is no different.
Sure.
We get our funds from our membership and our programs.
Sure.
We don't get any grant money.
Right.
You know, we don't get any
Yeah, you can't
funding.
Access some of the things that we can as
no.
a 501c3 for sure.
Yeah, we're a C6. So that limits us. But and I always say too, we don't get a large amount of money. The Alliance gets a significant part of their funding from the city and the county.
Sure.
And I say, you know, they're members, but I always say I can bite the hand that doesn't feed us because
Correct.
I don't want them to, you know, we have to argue with some things.
Sure.
Just like with, you know, Proposition HH that didn't pass, the chamber board voted to not to oppose it.
And, right.
You know,
and not on premise, just based on that it was not great legislation.
Solution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we all want to fund education. We all want to, you know, lower all of those
yes.
things are true, but it needs to be the right fit for all the folks we serve. And,
right.
and I do think that we are a leading voice on behalf of all businesses that are chamber members.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things that I know that, you know, your board and my board, if anybody is ever interested in learning more on how to get on a board, especially if you're a YPOD age, you know,
sure.
a 20 to 40-year-old, join the YPODs, Young Professionals of Durango.
Sure.
Dip your toe in the water and, you know, start networking,
sure.
attending some of the programs,
sure.
and learn about what it takes to be a board member.
Well, and Leadership La Plata is another
yes.
great opportunity for that. You know, you got 9 months of learning more about the community,
mm-hmm.
you know, the leadership component. It really can give you some really solid foundation
yeah.
as to where do you want to serve, how do you want to serve, because you learn a lot of things, you know,
yeah.
and there are so many opportunities
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of nonprofits and for-profits, but there's a lot of service opportunities
mm-hmm.
for people and being prepared. It's not overwhelming, but there is a commitment, right?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't letterhead fodder. This isn't, you know, something I put on my resume.
Right.
You know, truly, if you're going to give of your time, it needs to be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, you know, talk about meaningful things and make meaningful decisions
sure.
and take meaningful action. And for us at the Boys and Girls Club, you know, that's clearly, you know, what we're trying to do because you have a governance component. You have,
yeah.
you know, there's things around it that people should know and
right.
be prepared for. And, you know, even serving on nonprofits like us,
yeah,
public service, city
yes.
council, county commissioners, school boards, we need more
all
folks, and it's hard, and it's thankless, and we're losing out civic groups. I wish we had more time, because I
yeah,
can
really I'm gonna cut you off.
I know, I could take off on this one, because
yeah.
we're losing a generation of
yes.
service if we don't
oh,
catch
huge.
Up soon.
So what's your website?
BGCLaPlata.org.
All right, and DurangoBusiness.org. Vaughn, thank you for everything you do.
Jack, appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out DurangoBusiness.org for upcoming chamber workshops and community events.